Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Friday, February 9th, the post-trade deadline edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast. And Willie Reed and Bryce Johnson, we hardly knew ye. But you can find me, your host, Matt Shook, on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, too. And we've got a Facebook page, if that's more your speed as well. Go ahead and give that a like at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But today we'll be recapping the trade deadline for the Pistons and recapping how the day shook down before the 3 o'clock Eastern, I guess, deadline that came back at the buzzer there. And we're going to be introducing you to the players and what you need to know about Jameer Nelson and James Ennis III, who were acquired by the Pistons on Thursday. But we're also going to be looking ahead to the weekend and the Los Angeles Clippers game on Friday night tonight in downtown Detroit, and also the road game on Sunday afternoon against the Atlanta Hawks coming up as well. But a whirlwind day for the Pistons and a whirlwind day for Twitter as well. Can I just say, I kind of have like a love-hate relationship with Twitter. It's very useful. It's where I get most of my news, sadly. But the NBA trade deadline can be a pretty crazy day in many ways, and Twitter makes it better in a lot of those ways. But I retweeted my buddy Tony Paul of the Detroit News, who said he saw 20,000 Cavaliers trade deadline jokes, and maybe two of them were good. And Tony's great, and that was spot on. I'll try to get him on the pod sometime soon. I know he's done some Piston coverage over the years as well, kind of filling in for Rod Beard during his vacations or whatever else that they needed multiple reporters for. But if you're on Twitter and you've tweeted something to the effect of, you know, quote tweeting Woj and saying something like, the trade deadline is so crazy in all caps, or what in all caps or something. I mean, it's a non-joke, and I just don't feel like we need that. I don't need that on my timeline. And I feel like a non-joke clogger is even worse than a bad joke. And there's plenty of bad jokes to go around there on Twitter as well. But at least with a bad joke, there's effort. But all that said, I've gotten to be familiar with a lot of you guys from Twitter, some of the listeners, some of the Pistons fans, and it's been great, that part of it. I mean, like I'm saying, I like Twitter a lot, but some of it's a little bit over the top. But, and I'm not just saying that part's been great because you guys are listeners. Everyone seems cool, and I'm glad to be a part of Pistons Twitter and your consumption when it comes to this team online and obviously through this podcast as well. But anyways, it was maybe the first trade of the day that was announced, that Jameer Nelson is headed to the Pistons from the Chicago Bulls, who he actually never played for the Bulls. He was acquired from the New Orleans Pelicans in the Nikola Mirotic trade the other day. The Pistons gave up Willie Reed, who was suspended for 5 more games after the domestic violence incident suspension came down from the August incident in Florida with his wife. Also, the chance for a second-round pick swap in 2022 by Chicago is part of the trade, too. So if the Chicago has a worse pick than Detroit's, they can switch 2022 second-round picks. So a nothing burger. It means nothing. It doesn't matter at all. So giving up Willie Reed, who I think as Pistons fans, we all had kind of a bad taste in our mouths when we found out about the domestic violence incident. Again, I have to give myself a bad mark and the other members of the Detroit media, and I'm looking at some of those. I'm thinking about that too. Like, how did they miss that? How come that wasn't more of a story when this trade happened? But anyway, later on, the news broke about it. Not long after that, maybe a half hour after that news broke. And props to Vinny Goodwill of NBC Sports Chicago, the former news writer for the Pistons and Detroiter himself as well, friend of the pod. He had a great day on Twitter, kind of breaking some news. But he broke the news that the Pistons were about to make a trade with New Orleans, getting Dante Cunningham for Bryce Johnson and a second-round pick. But then Woj came in from the top rope, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, of course, the dean of breaking stories on ESPN. Vinny tried to get one, and then Woj came and with the steel chair from behind. I wouldn't say it's quite a Woj bomb with all the Cleveland stuff going on. That was the Woj bombs of the day. And I loved how Woj kind of set the scene for the trade between the Lakers and the Cavs, saying, the Lakers and the Cavs are close to making a deal, sources say, or whatever it was, and kind of had like a more few 10, 15 minutes of buildup with everyone, of course, making the LeBron James connections and Lonzo Ball and all the jokes about that. And those got old too, but at least it was kind of some fun. I don't know if he kind of said, hey, I'll have 10 minutes of dead air here while people make their own conclusions of what's going to happen with this one. But anyway, he broke the news of Johnson and the pick, the future second round pick from the Pistons going instead to Memphis for James Ennis III. And a quick tangent about some of these deals and the second round picks. There's a lot of corners of Pistons Twitter, some of you guys talking about how real concerned about giving up those second round picks. I challenge you guys to go through the last few and last forever second rounds of the NBA and look at some of those names. There's like three or four real players in a year that comes out of the second round. The second round happens every year. I generally watch the draft all the way through, and it's just hilarious, first of all, the amount of trades that always happen. If you want a certain player in the second round, you can always, and I mean always, get them. And I get that Chris Middleton happened, but like Tony Mitchell also happened. Michael Benajay also happened. I mean, these are guys that are just long gone from the NFL and NBA. And then Chris Middleton was a second-round pick for the Pistons. So obviously maybe Pistons fans are a little biased about the value of second-round pick. And Spencer Dinwiddie was a second-round pick as well. Now, Spencer Dinwiddie is not that good. He still is not that good. He's a rotation piece on a good team, barely. He's a starter on the Nets, obviously, but that's not a good team. That's not a team that you want to emulate and pick pieces off of. But he got kicked around the league by the Pistons and the Bulls, and for a few years, nobody really wanted him, and that's going to happen to these types of guys. More important, it's to find them maybe after a few years or through the G League or something like that than be the one who drafts them 45th overall. Like, I just don't see why we need to flip out or think that second-round picks are important. The first-round pick that the Pistons traded for Blake Griffin, yes, that's important. And I also disagree with, and I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday as well, I also disagree with all these NBA GMs that are holding real tight to these first-round picks. And I get that it's an efficiency situation because you have guys on these lower rookie contracts that might be contributing more to your team, especially with all these cap situations created by bad free agent signings that every team in the NBA has over these last few years. But, I mean, there's a lot of players that are picked in the teens and a lot more players picked in the 20s in NBA drafts who are also not players. I mean, yes, Donovan Mitchell was picked in the teens, and so we can talk about that all day long. But look through all these drafts. It's not like the other thing about it is NBA GMs do that to save their jobs. Like, they can say, okay, we drafted this guy last year in the first round, and he's not good yet, but you don't expect anything from rookies. And when you're second year, he's still 20 years old. And I'm kind of talking a little bit about Stanley Johnson there. It's a good way to preserve your job for a few more years if you're like, well, Stanley Johnson or this first-round pick or this next first-round pick next year, these guys will take a few years to get ready. And meanwhile, you're obviously convincing your owners and the bosses to not fire you. So I think it's a little bit of a disservice to your fan base. And I know, obviously, there's a balance because there is – a need for preserving your future and preserving your future assets and bringing in quality players every year under affordable contracts. So I'm not saying be reckless, but I think that you're doing a disservice to your fan base if you're, you know, relying on future first round picks and all that kind of stuff too. And I know that Danny Ainge has kind of played it to perfection in some ways with the asset accumulation and using that to his advantage. But even then, you know, we'll see what comes out of this Boston team over the next decade or so. But, you know, as far as good moves, I still like the Pistons going out and getting the best player that was moved during this trade deadline and really turning their franchise from a place that was going nowhere to someone who's going to be a very scary first-round playoff opponent probably for someone and possibly a very scary second-round opponent. There, I said it. So I thought that these were good pickups for the Pistons. They didn't give up much at all. And really anything when you look at it, unless Bryce Johnson, you think he's got a future in this league. I have no idea. We've never seen him. He played one game with the Grand Rapids Drive, apparently did pretty good in Chicago here, but I didn't see that. Both Nelson and Ennis are expiring deals, so they're basically rentals. Doesn't compromise the future cap at all. One second-round pick swap, another second-round pick given up. I don't care about that. Helps the bench for this season. It has been obvious since the Blake Griffin deal when they basically gave up two starters for one, and those two starters were more wing players and backcourt players, obviously, with Bradley and Harris, that the Pistons, they don't have enough players that you could have on the court for games that matter or playoff games. And today, on Thursday, actually, they might have gotten two more, and that's a good thing. And another thing to remember, the Pistons can use the roster exceptions on the buyout market. They still, I believe, they have at least one of those available. Sometimes we don't really know when they announce these trades what you know, roster exception is used for what, but apparently they got one from the Blake Griffin deal and then another one from the Chicago trade as well. And guys will be available, and maybe the Pistons during the buyout market, maybe the Pistons can get a backup center through that. You don't want Eric Moreland playing an important role down the stretch. However, we saw against Brooklyn that Andre and Blake Griffin took all 48 of the center minutes. Don't be surprised if that's more of the rule, but obviously small injuries could happen, and big injuries could happen too, which would derail the season if it was one of those guys that went down. But obviously, foul trouble happens throughout games, and there will be a few minutes for Moreland, or whoever that they can come up with at the five. We're going to be talking a little bit more about James Ennis and Jameer Nelson after this, but if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you want men 18 and 44 to know about your product or company, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
A little bit later on, we're going to be looking ahead to the weekend and previewing games against the Los Angeles Clippers and the Atlanta Hawks as the Pistons try to keep the five-game winning streak rolling. But during the trade deadline stuff on Thursday, I made the joke on Twitter that I would have guessed that Jameer Nelson is 43 years old, not 35 years old. He's actually turning 36 today, so I was wrong about that. But I remember when he played in the 2009 NBA Finals for Stan Van Gundy and the Orlando Magic, he was 26 and in his sixth season. It wasn't like he was a young rookie all the way back then. But since that Finals, and maybe this speaks to more about my life, I guess. I've lived in Michigan for another year at that time. I moved to another state, Missouri, for 4 years, moved to another, seemed like another continent. It wasn't another continent, but the Virgin Islands for 3 years, and now I've been back in the Midwest in Chicago for like 2 years. So it's like a lot of things have happened in my life since like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, that Jameer Nelson was, like I said, in the prime of his career with the Orlando Magic when he was an all-star type of player back then. But meanwhile, young point guards have come in and taken the league by storm. There's a group by group of good players, new crop every season. I'm kind of shocked he's still around. But that said, Jameer was really good for Denver last year. He started 39 games for the Nuggets, scored 9.2 points per game. He shot the ball well. He's always been a facilitator as well. He's kind of the opposite of Ish Smith in some ways. I said it before, Ish is obviously one of the fastest players in the league, so kind of relies on his athleticism. But I've been concerned about Ish with the first unit, especially late in games. I like him alongside bench players and role players and guys like Anthony Tolliver and Reggie Bullock, who are guys who work off the action of others. And if he's in there with Ish Smith, I'm talking about, if he's in there with a unit that needs someone to make a play, he can do that. Plus, his lack of three-point shooting really hurts when you have space created by Blake Griffin and you're forced to be more of a secondary complementary player. But I also feel like in the fourth quarter, games slow down and Ish becomes a liability sometimes, and I could see where Jameer Nelson maybe could play more crunch time minutes over Ish as more of a complimentary piece and more of a kind of a traffic director as opposed to someone who needs to really make a play other than maybe an open shot every now and then. The ball will be in Blake Griffin's hands at the end of games. We know that. He'll be the one making the plays, but you need a pro out there to kind of do his job, hit those open shots, and play smart. And I think Jameer can maybe do some of those things. Obviously, the professionalism in the locker room, the familiarity with Stan Van Gundy are things that also help the equation as well. He's certainly, Jameer's not going to be a big difference maker for the team, and I also, you might look at him as kind of an insurance policy in case Reggie Jackson's return either doesn't happen or it doesn't go smoothly. And maybe the Pistons know something about that as they were making their list of wants and priorities at the trade deadline as they kind of eschewed the need for a backup center and went with more of a point guard. So maybe you can read between the tea leaves or read the tea leaves between the lines, getting my metaphors mixed up. But on to James Ennis a little bit. Basically, with Stanley Johnson going into the starting lineup as Harris and Bradley hit the road, that created a void in the bench small forward minutes that Stanley was playing. So I thought, I remember when I heard James Ennis' name during when the trade was made or announced this morning by Adrian Wojnarowski, I remember that he was a tough dude when the Pistons played Memphis last week. And from the little that I remembered from seeing him in games over the years. So I went back and watched that game last week with the Memphis announcers, and Ennis comes in middle of the first quarter, comes right back in, and within a minute of him being in the game, he came in, wrestled the ball away from Andre Drummond in traffic for a block shot, then stole an offensive rebound away from Blake and got called on that play for a ticky-tack foul that was a bad call, by the way. And then the next time down the floor, he took an offensive rebound away from Stanley Johnson and then went and scored right over Griffin. And he had another steal from Drummond a couple minutes later. So He's a guy who he got minutes over Ben McLemore, who's stuck on the bench right now for Memphis as well. And when you're Memphis, you would think going into training camp, going into whatever you want to do, you're obviously going to give the shot to McLemore over Ennis because he's a lottery talent and it's a bad team. You want to find out whether you have something there. And Ennis must have beat him out, maybe a practice, maybe a training camp. He was the one getting more minutes than McLemore. And I know that McLemore's acclaim in the league is obviously never really taken off, but a guy that you would think a team like Memphis would give the first raps to, the first chances as far as getting spot in the rotation. So Ennis has also been pretty good from three this year, right about league average so. His true shooting percentage is 61%, which is pretty good, or actually really good. And he knocks down 88% of his free throws as well, which is obviously excellent. And he's got a reputation for a good defender as well. And like I said, anecdotally, it seems like he has the toughness that's more of a Pistons basketball kind of thing. He's 27 years old. He went to three colleges in California, so he's probably had a really good education at all those three schools. I only went to one college. So, I mean, obviously James Ennis has probably learned a lot in those schools as well. But like I said, maybe exemplifies Pistons toughness a little bit more. When you think about this team and think about the players that they have given up over the past few weeks and think about the bad boys, think about the going to work here, think about what Pistons basketball is. Is Tobias Harris Pistons basketball? And we love Tobias. I love Tobias. He was a great player. He maybe great's a little bit much for him, but he was a very good player, improved every year, and obviously is a great human being and the kind of guy you want to root for. But does Tobias Harris exemplify Pistons basketball? I would say the same thing about Avery Bradley. I know that's a little bit silly, and some of you might disagree with that, considering his defensive reputation. But his pesky defensive reputation, I wouldn't necessarily, after watching him play for a season, almost a season for the Pistons, I wouldn't call him a tough player. He goes down a lot when he gets hit offensively. He's not making a lot of these like defensive. You know, the plays he makes is he gets in your pocket for an entire game and he bothers you. And then I get why that would bother Kyrie Irving and Steph Curry. And he is very good at that. One of the best in the league. One of the best of this generation in the league as well at that. But is Avery Bradley even exemplified Pistons basketball? I think we thought that. We thought that he might coming into the season, as most of us didn't watch him for 82 games over the past several years. But, with the injuries too, you think about Blake Griffin, and I know that Blake Griffin has maybe had a little bit of a reputation for kind of a fake tough guy over the years too, but he's at least got that wide body and knows how to use it on a basketball court and rebounds as well. Andre Drummond certainly is a rebounder, a guy who's not afraid to back down from anyone. Stanley Johnson is a tough guy. You know, for all the things that we've maybe said about Stanley Johnson in the past, he is definitely a tough guy. I think Reggie Bullock is a tough guy. I mean, these are dudes that we're bringing in. I think that James Ennis is a dude. I think he's going to come in, and I think he's going to play the type of Pistons basketball that Stan Van Gundy is hoping for. Whether he's going to be a great contributor, whether he's going to be a difference maker for this team, I think that remains to be seen. You know, what are the expectations? Probably not that much. A pretty good bench player who can play, 8 to 10 or 12 minutes a game and helping out and making some shots every now and then. That's the hope. But, as far as makeup and mentality, I think that Stan Van Gundy is kind of quietly remaking this team a little bit, maybe in the Pistons and what image and the image that he's trying to kind of bring into this team as well. But we're going to be taking a look at the Clippers and the Hawks in a little bit here. But there's a new coach here in Detroit as well, and you should be listening to Locked On Lions to learn all about Matt Patricia. It's Matt Derry, the host of Locked On Lions from Detroit Radio, has a podcast every day about the Leos, and you should check that out, as well as all the other NBA podcasts, one for every NFL and NBA team, as a matter of fact, here on the Locked On Network, your team every day. The LA Clippers coming to town tonight. The Clips have not played since Monday at home, which is kind of a schedule, an anomaly there. A little bit different for the Pistons as far as opponents, because the last four Pistons opponents have been coming in to Detroit on back-to-backs. So certainly the Clippers should be well-rested. They are 2-0. Since the big trade with Detroit, beating Chicago and then surging late to beat the Dallas Mavericks at home. In all honesty, Avery Bradley is probably surprised to be with the team still. I'm not quite sure what direction this organization is going. If you trade your best player, Blake Griffin, but keep DeAndre Jordan, despite the fact that he could go catch you some assets there, and then re-sign Lou Williams, although that was a surprisingly affordable deal, a nice pickup for them to keep him in the mix and then keep Bradley on an expiring. I'm not really sure where you're going, but maybe they're trying to get to the playoffs just like the Pistons are this year, and maybe they'll reevaluate the organization from kind of a bird's eye view in the offseason with a little bit more time to figure out what's going on. Doc's son, Austin Rivers, he might be returning to the lineup tonight after missing the last 18 games with an ankle injury. The game has been moved to ESPN, as you probably know, and obviously it will be an emotional one for Blake Griffin as well. Like Detroit, the Pistons are just outside of the playoffs by mere percentage points. So they're a team that's now past the trade deadline and can get past that now. This is the team that they're likely going to have for the rest of the season, barring, like I said, a pickup on the waiver wire or whatever. Pistons, 3.5-point favorites at home in the game. I hope Tobias Harris, by the way, gets a nice ovation from the Little Caesars Arena crowd and Avery Bradley as well, but mostly Tobias. Probably not highlight video worthy, but why the hell not if they're I'm not opposed to that. I mean, we're not too proud of an organization to give a guy who was real good for us for almost two full seasons, but I'm happy for Tobias. He's got a chance to live in Los Angeles and play for another team that's not at the bottom of the league and be in a starring role for them too, so I hope his career continues to flourish. Moving on to Sunday, the Atlanta Hawks. Pistons will be on the road in the dirty South. The Hawks are terrible. I mean, holy crap, they are tied for the worst record in the NBA, and they've earned it. They are really bad. A game Detroit has to win, and is the first road game of the Blake Griffin era. The Hawks have picked up a couple wins lately against the Knicks and the Grizzlies, and believe it or not, the Hawks could win tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers if all the players that the Cavs picked up aren't ready physicals-wise, paperwork-wise, and everything else for tonight's game. The Cavs picked up Rodney Hood and George Hill in a three-way trade on Thursday before the trade deadline, and also made a deal with the Lakers sending Isaiah Thomas to LA for Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson as well, so along with some other pieces. So some rebuilding going on for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not going to take a lot of time talking about that trade, as you can find many other NBA podcasts to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. But an interesting day, of course, for the Cavs, who also traded Dwayne Wade back to the Miami Heat, where his career is most known for, obviously. So good to see Dwayne Wade return home and reunited with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and all those guys, too. The Hawks game on Sunday for the Pistons is a 3:30 p.m. Eastern start, so a weird time. That could be a variable there. What you need to know about them, they're Bazemore, Torian Prince, and Dennis Schroeder. Just not a very good team, but that's their three legit NBA guys that they have. And they have a kind of a rising star in John Collins, the rookie. He's really good. He's been consistent lately, especially on the glass. But they've been keeping him on the bench and keeping his minutes in the low to mid-20s, which is a tanktastic move. That's the kind of move you make if you're trying to lose. Or it's an organizational decision kind of to set up barriers to winning. And maybe they've got Collins on a minutes restriction right now. And they're the Hawks. They are bad. But like Brooklyn the other night, this is a team that competes. They're second in the NBA in forced turnovers at about 16 per game. Coach Budenholzer has them playing very hard, as you would expect. He's a very good coach, and this team is making steps in the right direction. They expect to be in the lottery this year, and they're doing all they can to make sure that happens as an organization. But we'll be talking about those games. A lot going on this weekend. I'm sure there will be plenty to cover on Monday's podcast. Enjoy the games this weekend and see what the new look Pistons look like. As no telling as of early Friday morning as I tape this, whether Nelson or Ennis win or when they will be in uniform for the Pistons, I doubt tonight, but possibly by Sunday afternoon's game. So we'll have plenty to talk about there. Follow the Locked On NBA Network on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net, and also give us a like on Facebook at our Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Do that for me, too. And go on iTunes. Give us a nice comment if you'd like, or if you hate the podcast, rip me like some of them have a little bit there. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again soon.